Welcome to Food Stuff. I'm Lauren Vogelbaum.
And I'm Annie Reese.
And today we're talking about something nice.
Yeah.
Cupcakes.
Cupcakes. And also a little bit about American-style muffins.
Yeah, because as it turns out, they're
kind of very much the same thing.
They are.
Now, they weren't always. To put it in Star Wars terms, I feel like the cupcake is the dark side with all that sugar, and the muffin is the light side. And then for years, the cupcake's been all, join me on the dark side. The muffin was like, I'll never join you, until it totally caved and joined the dark side.
Oh, yeah, because muffins are just breakfast cupcakes now.
Yeah, that really could just be the episode.
That's it.
Yeah.
You can write to us on...
Yes. Okay, so what are they?
Cupcakes.
Yeah.
Hmm. Huh.
They're, like, individual, easily transportable, and portioned controlled, if you've got the willpower, cakes. Typically, they're baked in a muffin or cupcake pan, sometimes with crimped foil or paper. You bake them, frost them, maybe decorate them, and devour them, or share, if you can. Oh, and in your eagerness to have a cupcake in your face, don't forget to peel off the paper or foil if you used it. I'm not just being condescending. That came up a lot when I was reading about cupcakes. You can use a plate and fork if you feel so inclined, or just
straight to face.
You can also microwave single cupcakes in a mug.
Oh, I've done that before.
I have too. I've done it many nights in a row to the point where I'm kind of like, should I just made a batch of cupcakes?
Mm-hmm.
Most cupcakes are a combination of flour, butter, eggs, and sugar. Pretty much any cake recipe can be cupcakeified. Once cooled, you frost. You can even use a syringe and fill them with frosting or other filling-type things. Depending on where you are in the world, cupcakes may go by fairy cakes, patty cakes, queen cakes, or simply bun. And the lack of space in the word cupcake is key.
Oh, yeah. Because cupcakes, totally different.
Space, yes. Yeah. They're a thing, too, and we will be talking about them more in a second. One thing cupcakes are not, muffins.
Hmm.
Except kind of now.
Right.
So there's an American and English muffin here in the U.S. I got confused reading about this because I don't know. I'm guessing in England they don't call it.
English muffins.
I don't know. But we call it an English muffin. The big difference between American muffins and English muffins, besides the griddling that you do on English muffins, is that American muffins are quick bread raised with baking soda or powder. Or before these things were invented, pearl ash derived from potash made in muffin tins or some other individual mold. Traditionally, American-style muffins were savory and cupcakes sweet. And yes, I can hear you scoff from here. There are savory muffins, sure, but there are plenty of sweet ones. However, muffins don't generally have the frosting that cupcakes generally do and are a bit denser. If we're talking about health...
Do we need to?
Do we?
Oh, sure.
Okay. The average gourmet vanilla cupcake at a chain is 780 calories and 36 grams of fat.
Oh.
Yeah. They're a dessert, a treat, moderation.
Yeah. Maybe share them if they're big like that.
Yeah. Most muffins you buy at chains aren't going to fare too much better either, although you can make healthier ones on your own, both of cupcakes, but especially of muffins.
Let's run some cupcake and muffin numbers.
Yeah. So, okay, let's start with some weird numbers. In 2008, Duff Goldman of Ace of Cake fame,
former coworker. Oh, goodness.
I don't know what I'm thinking. He broke the record for largest cupcake at 61.4 pounds. To make this monster, Duff used 16 pounds of butter and 10 pounds of sugar. It raised $10,000 for charity fighting hunger in the U.S. But intrigue.
Intrigue. Giant cupcake intrigue.
Okay. Guinness took back the record because the cupcake was made in two parts, which they deemed to be disqualifying.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. In 2011, Georgetown Cupcake, which is a chain in the U.S., took the record with a 2,594-pound behemoth. That's about 1,176 kilograms, by the way.
To make this cupcake, both oven and pan were custom made. The pan itself weighed over 600 pounds.
Ooh.
The cupcake was 3 feet tall and nearly 5 feet across. That's about 1 by 1.6 meters or so.
Wow.
Although cupcakes can be pretty pricey at your run-of-the-mill boutique bakery, maybe like $5 a piece, there is nothing that people won't adorn with edible gold and sell for a $1,000 upcharge. Right, Annie?
Oh, yes.
Completely
correct.
In Dubai, and of course it's in Dubai, there is, or at least has been, a $1,010 chocolate cupcake that's wrapped in edible gold leaf and topped with chocolate frosting that's sprinkled with edible gold dust and decorated with chocolate pieces and a fondant butterfly that are, you guessed it, coated in more edible gold dust. It's called the Golden Phoenix. And I'm usually all about going into weird research rabbit holes, but I'm stopping. I just stopped with this one because all the other search results were returning like multiple instances of people putting diamonds on top of cupcakes. And that is not edible.
No.
That's inadvisable. It's a choking hazard. I don't like it.
You just get the cupcake and then you take the diamonds off. You eat the cupcake and then you've got
And then you have diamonds. You have like a handful of diamonds.
All right.
I don't understand it.
Yeah, me either. Individual cupcakes are becoming increasingly popular at weddings. I have
a friend
that did this, and it was lovely.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't have to worry about it.
I feel like the last, like, 7 weddings I went to had those. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's great.
Yeah. There are cupcake ATMs. Sprinkles leads in this field. ATM is in almost a vending machine of cupcakes.
Yeah.
Some feature up to 600 flavors.
What?
That rotate, and each one will cost you about $4 a pop. Or cupcake, you know. Oh, and just to throw back to a past episode, H-E-B Central Market debuted a black garlic chocolate cupcake in 2015.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that actually sounds great.
I know. According to the company's site, this brand new invention blends black garlic fermented until it reaches a satisfying sweetness into a luscious chocolate batter made with sour cream and European chocolate.
Ooh.
Spongy, moist with enough garlic to melt into the chocolate without punching you in the mouth. The whole thing is topped with a thick black garlic buttercream icing.
Oh.
That extra kick you get at the end comes from a pinch of cayenne pepper.
Huh.
Yeah.
To celebrate the UK's National Cupcake Week in 2013, Food Network UK hired a designer to create a Marie Antoinette-inspired cupcake dress.
A cupcake dress?
The skirt held tiers of purple, red, and pink cupcakes, over 300 in total.
Sounds unwieldy, but you'd always have a cupcake available to you.
you and 299 of your best friends, yeah.
Sure.
Okay. 270.
Yeah, you know, I share. So cupcakes sort of exploded right around the new millennium in something sometimes called the Great Cupcake Rush.
Oh.
In 2012, Americans devoured more than 770 million cupcakes.
Oof.
Between 2008 and 2013, cupcakes were the fastest growing segment of the baked goods industry. In 2013, the cupcake industry was valued at 200 to 250 million. Economists classify cupcakes as an affordable indulgence, meaning even when things are tight, you can still splurge on the occasional cupcake.
Mm.
Yeah. So, let's talk about some cupcake history.
Let's. But first, let's take a quick break for a word from our sponsor.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
According to food historian Andrea Broomfield, just like other popular foods, the brownie comes to mind. It's impossible to pinpoint a date of origin for the cupcake. Just wanted to throw that out there in the beginning. But that being said, if we step back a bit to pre-cookbook, for the average cook, most of your recipes were not really written anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they were, maybe you couldn't read.
Sure.
They were passed on orally, which means they kind of needed to be easy enough to remember. Hence, the cup cake with a space where the measurements you used for each ingredient was in cups. That's also where pound cake gets its name.
Yeah.
By the way.
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend who still uses a recipe like this for cobbler.
Oh,
cup
me
of milk,
too.
Cup of sugar, cup. Yeah.
Yeah.
This cupcake differentiation can lead to some confusion, as you would guess, for historians doing research on either. And speaking of pound cakes, individually sized cupcake-esque pound cakes, sometimes shaped like hearts, were popular by the 18th century. The history of the cupcake, as in the individually sized ones we think of today, is relatively short, and it starts in 1796 with oft-mentioned cookbook, American Cookery, by Amelia Simmons.
Thank you, Amelia.
Yeah. The recipe was for a light cake to bake in small cups and called for, among other things that we use in our modern-day cupcake recipes, a glass of wine.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sure.
They just put alcohol in anything was the mantra for a while. Sometimes, for added confusion, cupcake, with a space, and cupcake were combined.
Oh.
Like in the first written record of the word cupcake, no space, in Eliza Leslie's 1828 Receipts Cookbook, it was for a recipe for a cup measurement cake based in individual tins.
Baked in individual tins.
Right. So cupcakes. In the beginning, these tins were probably mugs made out of clay or something similar, or maybe teacups. So cupcakes. It gets really messy.
It's a Russian doll of cupcake.
Yeah, I like that. Baking in individual cups, mugs, ramekins, what have you, might have been seen by bakers as an efficient way to use any leftover batter because you could fit them in unused real estate in the oven while you're baking something else.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they baked more quickly, too, if fuel was an issue.
Sure.
The first time the word muffin, let's go into muffin territory for a minute, appeared in print was around the same time, but a little bit earlier in the 18th century. And by mid-century, muffin recipes started appearing in recipe cookbooks. Recipe cookbooks, that's redundant. Similar to the cupcake, there was name confusion because muffin was also sometimes used to mean crumpets.
Oh, okay.
Also, muffin probably meant English muffin?
Until
the end of the 18th century in the U.S. Since pearl ash, that chemical leavening agent, was discovered in the U.S., that's where the American-style muffin originated.
Right.
In Fanny Farmer's 1896 Boston Cooking School cookbook, there's a recipe for both the quick bread muffin, which at the time was alternately called common or wheat muffin, and the English muffin. By the 19th century, you could probably expect to find a recipe for a muffin in American cookbooks. And Lauren, I have a question for you.
Oh.
Do you know the Muffin Man?
The Muffin Man?
The Muffin Man who lives on Drury Lane.
I don't personally. Should I?
Probably.
Oh.
This is actually kind of a nice story as opposed to a lot of the nursery type songs that have really dark meanings behind them. Pre-grocery store. Individual grocers would go down the streets ringing bells, selling
okay.
their wares,
uh-huh.
including muffin men. These guys that would carry trays of muffins balanced on their heads. And the song came out of Victorian England, so probably referred more to English muffins, but we're not sure. An act of Parliament forbade the muffin man's bell ringing in the 1840s, but brave muffin men did not let it stop them. Nay.
By the 1870s or 80s, muffin pans had hit the scene, an upgrade from cooking muffins in rings on a griddle top and flipping them halfway through. And that, again, probably applies mostly to English-style muffins, but it's hard to say.
Hard to say. Okay, back to cupcakes. While recipes for cupcakes did exist in Europe, it seems to have really taken off in the U.S.
Yeah.
Both those recipes we mentioned earlier are from the U.S., by the way. I mean, obviously, the American cookery one, but
sure.
also the other one. In 1894, a writer posed, in Miss Mary E. Wilkins's Delightful New England Stories, and in other tales relating to this corner of the United States, I've frequently found mentioned of cupcake, a dainty unknown, I think, in this country. Will some friendly reader on the other side of the Atlantic kindly answer this query and initiate an English lover of New England folks and ways into the mysteries of cupcake? So they didn't seem to know what it was.
Yeah.
Or at least this writer didn't in England. And apparently they're still largely an American thing.
Yeah.
The practice of baking with paper liners can be found in mid-19th century cookbooks, but the decorative variety didn't show up until after World War I. There were several patents in the 1930s, primarily at first just for baking and then later for serving. At first, you just used them to bake and then peeled them off and threw them away. But then it kind of became like
became this
decorative. Here you go. Look at this festive cupcake.
Make less of a mess. Hold on to it.
Yes, and speaking of, by the 1900s, cupcakes had secured their spot as a popular choice for children's birthday parties. And this was probably related to the fact that muffin tins were now more readily obtainable by the public. 1907 saw the first instance of someone flavoring and icing cupcakes to represent the periodic table. I did not know this is a thing, but this is awesome. The woman behind this was Ida Freund, and she iced on the atomic name and number on each cupcake. And she started something of a trend. You might find a periodic table of cupcakes at school bake sales today.
I have never seen this, but I love it intensely.
I do, too. And I want to see one.
Yeah, yeah. In 1915, a brand called Tasty Cake introduced individually wrapped chocolate cupcakes, then two packs, and during the Great Depression, the three packs that they still market today. Then in 1919, a brand called Continental Baking introduced a packaged cupcake. In 1925, they'd introduce a whole line of sweet snack cakes under the Hostess brand. Yes, Hostess cupcakes.
What?
They were originally just a devil's food cake with either chocolate or vanilla icing, though. In 1947, the company would hire one Dr. Doc Rice to redesign the cake, and by happy accident, the machine that filled their Twinkies had just been perfected, so they started filling the cupcakes, too, and added a stripe of white icing. Not sure when it went curly, though.
Yeah.
It wasn't curly at first.
Yeah. I think I came across that was kind of a big... They were looking for a rebrand, a redecorating of their cupcakes. I've never tried one of these.
Oh, really?
I missed this whole Hostess thing. I didn't try Twinkies. I didn't try these. Yeah, but I did not miss boxed cake mixes, which started popping up in stores during the 1940s and 50s, making cupcake baking all the easier. And boxed muffin mixes were available to purchase around this time as well. Mm-hmm. In the 1980s, muffins started shifting more to the sweet variety, turning over to that dark side thanks to the low-fat craze and replacing that fat with sugar. And this is part of the reason they have that sticky top, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Back when muffins were a savory thing, they had a crusty top. Maybe this shift is why three states decided to adopt state muffins in the 1980s.
I don't understand legislation. This is so weird to me. Okay.
Massachusetts opted for the corn muffin in 1986, Minnesota the blueberry muffin in 1988, and New York the apple muffin in 1987. This is the second time this show has given me the opportunity to look up the 40-minute 2014 New York Senate debate about whether or not they should make yogurt the state snack, in which talk of the apple muffin derails the whole thing. And for that, I am very grateful. It's so excellent.
Did you, are there any state cupcakes?
Not as far as I can tell. There are best cupcakes of every state, but no state cupcake. Legislation has not come that far yet.
They haven't quite caught up.
No. In 1996, we see the dawn of boutique cupcakes with when Magnolia Bakery opened a cupcakery in New York with $3 offerings like peanut butter and jelly. They've since expanded to 7 U.S. locations and 5 international ones. Sex and the City featured a Magnolia Bakery cupcake in its third season, which aired in 2000, and then everybody wanted one.
Oh, yeah. Sex and the City was a crazy trendsetter.
It was, yeah, apparently.
Usually for clothes, but also for cupcakes,
also
I guess.
Also for cupcakes. Yeah. Magnolia Bakery is still a stop on the New York City Sex and the City tour. Magnolia has another brush with stardom in Saturday Night Live's digital short Lazy Sunday in 2005. Featuring Andy Samberg and Chris Parnell, this was the second time that SNL had published a digital short. And it was one of YouTube's first viral videos. Yeah. Also, admirable Hamilton reference pre-Broadway show. I really appreciated it. Muffins had their own claim to fame on the 1990 sitcom Seinfeld. But then Elaine had that idea for just selling the muffin tops.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, but that's a thing now.
I know it is because of this. And,
oh, what?
Yeah, they had this whole greeting, top of the muffin to you. Yeah, now you can buy muffin tops. Yeah.
Oh, that wacky Elaine.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, in 2003, a rival New York cupcake shop called Crumbs opened on the Upper West Side. They began marketing a lot of flavors, like up to 75 flavors, and started expanding to cities across the United States. It was a genuine fad.
Yep. And 2003 was also the same year the slang term muffin top originated in Australia.
Meaning the sort of chub that you get over low-rise jeans.
Yeah.
But it's fine. Your body is just okay.
I know.
Yeah. Around 2006, there were cupcake bans in some schools with an eye on student health. These bans caused public outcry. In Texas, legislators received so many complaints from parents that they passed a safe cupcake amendment to ensure students' rights to cupcakes.
A safe cupcake amendment?
The Washington Post reported that after the amendment passed, one lawmaker said, "We didn't realize how important cupcakes were."
Neither did I.
And meanwhile, other cupcake shops were opening so fast, hundreds of them, including eventual big hitters like Sprinkles, Cupcake Nouveau, and Georgetown Cupcake.
In 2008, meanwhile, you could buy a shirt that read, "Muffins are just cupcakes," and then later you could buy other shirts reading, "Muffins are just ugly cupcakes."
Which I got very offended about
she
before
did.
The show. I think it is what's inside that counts, and what's inside is still a cupcake, so you're still beautiful, muffins.
You've got a heart of gold, Lauren.
Thank you. I try.
In 2010, aforementioned Food Network show Cupcake Wars premiered with a prize of $10,000. I've never seen this show, but I mean, it's still going.
Oh.
Yeah. So I guess there are a million ways to make cupcakes.
I mean, there are. Also in 2010, TLC launched DC Cupcakes, Rivalry, a reality show about the Georgetown Cupcake Shop and its staff.
And this brings us to 2011, which cupcake experts call peak cupcake.
Crumbs Bake Shop was one of Inc. magazine's 500 fastest growing companies. It had 35 shops and was generating over $31 million in sales and almost $4 million in profit. Per square foot of retail space, they were generating a value of sales equal to McDonald's.
Ooh.
Which had, you know, like a lot more than 35 stores. Crumbs would be acquired for $66 million that year. But analysts were warning of a cupcake bubble.
Cupcake bubble.
Same store sales were in decline as new brands saturated the cupcake market.
Oh, man. The HuffPo article I read about this pointed out that the movie Bridesmaids, which came out in 2011, completely foreshadowed the coming cupcake collapse. If you haven't seen it, there's a whole scene where Kristen Wiig's character Annie, who is a gourmet baker, fancy, possibly cupcake-focused bakery that had just closed. And she has like a framed paper cutting of when it opened. She sees it, gets sad, and then makes a sad solitary cupcake for herself. It's beautiful cupcake, though. It looks really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, she proceeds to eat it. I mean, as you should.
Yeah.
Another HBO show paints the cupcake in a different light than Carrie Bradshaw's enjoyment of them on Sex and the City. Talking about girls, where Lena Dunham's character Hannah eats one naked in the bathtub in the pilot. And if you're familiar with the show, then you know, not in a happy way.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And then along comes the cupcake's nemesis in 2013.
Oh.
The super trendy Cronut.
Oh, no.
Not the Cronut. In case you missed this one, it's a croissant donut that was first popularized by New York bakery Dominique Enzel. They were so popular. Still are. I went kind of recently and I had to wait super long.
Huh.
There was a black market where you'd find them for $100 or more. Of course, this popularity spawned spinoffs galore, all creatively or not really creatively named to stave off lawsuits, including one from Crumbs, the crumb nut. That sounds so appetizing.
To celebrate the 40th anniversary of Saturday Night Live in 2014, Ice Creamery Ben & Jerry's launched a few sketch-themed flavors, one of which was Lazy Sunday.
Ah.
It was a vanilla cake batter ice cream base with chocolate and yellow cupcake pieces and a chocolate frosting swirl.
Mm.
That sounds delicious.
It does. Sugar overload, but...
yeah. Oh, cool. However, alas, alack, there was still trouble in Cupcake Paradise. Famed Crumbs had gone through a stock crash back in 2011, just a couple of months after going public. By 2013, they had opened 70 stores but had to close over a dozen of them that year due to low performance. Their licensing deals didn't work as well as hoped. Even their crumb nut could not save them.
Oh.
On July 7th, 2014, they closed all 48 of their remaining stores, and the cupcake bubble had burst.
Oh.
It was market oversaturation and inability to scale. You know, although cupcakes are easy and inexpensive to make up to a certain point, they're an inherently small production, fresh-made good. Mass production requires stabilizing ingredients that really cut quality.
Yeah.
And furthermore, there were all of these young, scrappy, and hungry trend foods that were waiting to steal the scene. Cake pops, macarons, donuts.
Mmm, donuts. If you're wondering what happened to the muffin, nothing, really.
It's just nothing muffin.
Chugging along. Just, yep. It never experienced a bubble. It never.
Sure.
Cupcake had this huge trend that burst. Muffin's still just low
and
key.
And there's still cupcake focused shops.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, all over town. Yeah.
Yeah.
Here in Atlanta, certainly. I mean, I don't know. I don't know about everywhere. Let us know about your hometown cupcake experiences.
Please do.
Yeah.
We have a little bit more for you about cupcakes, but first, we have one more quick break for a word from our sponsor. And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
And we're back with some storage tips.
Yeah, because I was thinking about doing some cake science, but then I sort of want to save it for like a larger cake episode. Literally a larger cake episode.
Yeah. Yes.
A non-individually sized cake episode. Anyway, so some storage tips and storage science.
Storage science.
Yeah. Okay, so, you know, all cakes are basically unwieldy to store.
Yeah.
Which is why you should just eat them. But cupcakes only multiply your problem. You've got more surface area, so they can dry out really fast. Nobody wants that. For best results, you should eat them. This is like professional recommendation. You should eat them within about 4 days.
Oh.
Though, who can keep cupcakes that long?
Someone with far more willpower than us.
Yeah. But you can keep them for at least a week if you treat them right.
Ah.
Okay, and some science of staleness. What's happening when cake goes stale is that it loses moisture and the starch molecules in it begin to crystallize, which makes the whole structure more brittle. The sugar in cake helps keep it fresh because sugar molecules hold on to water really well. Fat molecules also help. If you make low-fat cupcakes or muffins, you'll just have to eat them faster.
That kind of defeats the purpose.
Share them more.
Oh, yeah. Share.
Faster.
Yes. Yeah.
Frosted or unfrosted, cupcakes are best kept in an airtight container at room temperature with a little room between each cake and a little room between the cake and the top of the container. Crowding them can make them sticky. If you're storing unfrosted cupcakes to frost later, make sure they're completely cool before storage. Same goes for muffins. Or again, they will get sticky.
I'm so bad about that.
Oh, I know, me too.
I'm really impatient.
If you're frosting your cupcakes, frosting is best when freshly applied. The texture kind of goes as it dries out. So if you're baking ahead, consider making your frosting ahead of time and applying it day of. Unfrosted cupcakes and muffins freeze really well. Just let them defrost at room temperature for about 2 hours. I've read that even frosted cupcakes can survive this process, but I don't know if I buy it.
You've got your doubts.
I have my doubts. I haven't seen enough empirical studies. If you do not want to buy a special container for cupcakes or muffin storage purpose, a deep baking pan with a cover or even just a sheet of tinfoil or plastic wrap to put over top of it will do almost as well. Just keep the covering off of the cupcakes. This also goes for cupcakes that you've purchased. And I just want to say, in times of emergency, a pot or a bowl covered with a plate is also a completely acceptable receptacle.
I mean, you're bringing cupcakes.
I mean, come on.
If somebody's going to give you
judge
some
you
nonsense
on,
about
come on.
It,
what?
They don't deserve a cupcake. Yeah.
Annie just made the most incredible, like, come at me, bro, gesture. room temp, by the way, is generally better than the fridge, especially if your container is not airtight, because the continually circulating air of the refrigerator will make them dry out faster. And furthermore, the cool temperatures of a fridge will speed that starch crystallization process, making them go staler faster. Although, if your cupcakes, or especially muffins, have fruit in them, like fresh fruit, I'd put them in the fridge to prevent mold growth. Just you know, bring them to room temp before serving. Or eat them straight from the fridge in your pajamas. I can't tell you what to do.
That's my preferred way. I have this massive dessert chart, because of course I do. And it ranks, like, where desserts fall.
Oh, man. Do you have to go in and change it sometimes? Does it shift?
It does, especially when I try new desserts.
Ooh.
Like, I don't really prefer cupcakes. Mm-hmm. But it's because of the staleness. Most of the cupcakes I've tried have been stale. But recently, as in within the past, like, 4 years, I had one probably from one of these gourmet bakeries that was so moist and so delicious. And I had to make, like, two categories of cupcake.
Oh, no.
It's a big chart, you guys. Put too much thought into it, probably.
Oh, that's completely amazing. Yeah, I had one. I had one from famed Magnolia Bakery once, and I was super disappointed in it.
Oh.
It was so stale.
Oh,
I mean, the frosting was really good. It was a good, like, vehicle for the frosting, and the frosting was delicious. But yeah.
I have a friend who thinks of cupcakes as just a conveyance for the frosting. It's just this thing that you have to.
Oh,
yeah.
No, I love the cake part.
I prefer the cake part. I think frosting is generally too sweet. But these are just my thoughts, listeners. And this is our episode on cupcake and muffins.
Yay!
Yeah.
And it brings us to
listener mail.
Wow, listener mail.
Okay. We're going to start with one from Katie, who wrote in about her experience working at restaurants in states that use minimum tipped wage.
Yeah.
At 16, I started my first job at Sonic. I'm not sure if they have these in Georgia. They do. But Sonic is a drive-in fast food restaurant that is on just about every street corner in Texas and Oklahoma. These are the two states she worked in. As a car hop, I made $4 an hour, and you guessed it, the rest was to be made up in tips. When I moved to serving at 18, I made $2.13 an hour.
Oh.
But you mentioned about having virtually no paycheck. Is 100% true. I often didn't pick up my checks because they literally said $0. At 21, I became a bartender and started making $4 an hour again. We did tip share, so whatever someone tipped me didn't actually go to me, but the group as a whole. This method some places use is actually a little unfair, but that's another lengthy story. What a lot of people don't understand is that the tip they left me wasn't just for me. As a server, we tipped out the bar, the busboys, the hostess, and the dishwasher. The same method applied as a bartender. 20% of our tips went to the bouncers and the barbacks. So if someone left me a low tip or no tip at all, I was essentially paying to serve them. You also mentioned tipping in Europe, and it is true. Tips aren't expected, but they are a nice added bonus. As you know, this is because servers and other industry folks there typically get paid more than the minimum wage. As a rule of thumb, anytime I ate out while in Europe, I would always tip 1 or 2 euros. At my school, we had a huge foreign exchange program, and I quickly became friends with a group of Australians. Some of them were bartenders and told us how they were paid roughly $30 an hour on top of the tips they were often left.
Wow.
In my opinion, if you live in the U.S., you know it's customary to tip. If you don't like it, then don't go out to eat and potentially cause someone who is just trying to make a living to lose money. However, I do understand those instances when people want to treat themselves and or their family and can't afford to leave a tip that matches what they spent. All in all, servers are nice, understanding, and just want to be treated like humans. I would take a nice person but not as generous tipper over a handsy but large tipper any day.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Huh.
Getting, like, re-angry about the tipping episode.
Ginevra wrote in about toasting in other countries. Toasting from other countries. My friend had a Russia student hanging out on his couch through a verified website and completely safe, for one summer. He was teaching us the ways of Russian drinking. They toast saying, Zharovya.
Yeah. Excellent.
Take your shot, sniff a piece of bread, and take a bite of pickle. One night of drinking, we ran out of pickles and started using the pickle juice as a chaser. It does work if you like pickles. Traditionally, with my best friends, we enjoy our shots and we always cheers before taking them. We always come with something different and sometimes strange to cheers to. If someone takes the shot before cheers with us, we make them take it again.
I love how people have such strict rules.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. That's a fun one, though. And yeah, oh, I love a pickleback.
Picklebacks are very good. Yeah. So thanks to both of them for writing in. You can also write to us. Our email is foodstuff@howstuffworks.com.
We're also on social media. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at FoodstuffHSW. We are also on Instagram at Foodstuff. We hope to hear from you. Thank you so much to our stand-in recorder, Paul, and our producer, Dylan Fagan. Thanks so much to you for listening, and we hope that lots more good things are coming your way.